So I have to warn you, I don't have sugar or milk because I never keep those in my house.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
No, it's better that way.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Black is good. Okay. Black coffee
is
like...
Black is better.
It is better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's always better. I drink it like that too. I always forget.
Like in the morning, I'll treat myself, but I don't ever feel good about it. So.
Oh, really?
No.
I have
kind of milk in there.
In the morning, if you put milk in my coffee, it's a wrap.
Right.
It's a wrap. I can't do that.
Okay.
It's nauseating. Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
So this is compelling content. We're pouring coffee. We're getting the mic set up. Everybody was going to love this.
All right. You guys ready?
Yep.
To start? Okay. Welcome to Rough Cut. I'm JB Jones.
I'm Alan Seamage.
And today we have a very special guest from New York, New Yorker, super excited.
Born and bred?
Born and bred.
Born and bred New Yorker in the house, Allison Shamlat. Of Allison Lou.
Of Allison Lou, better known as Allison Lou, I guess. That's like, do people call you that all the time?
Yeah, sometimes if like, sometimes I'll be at a restaurant that I like can't find my reservation. I'm like, Lou? But
that's funny.
Yeah.
What is the Lou?
It's my middle name.
Okay.
Self-given in fifth grade.
Really?
My parents couldn't figure out a middle name for me, so.
It's so cute.
Yeah. In fifth grade, I was like, Mom, like, what was your grandma's name? What was your grandpa's name? Because I, like, figured that's what middle names were. And her grandfather's name was Lewis, and everyone called him Lou. And I was like, that's cute.
That is cute. I would have picked, like, Sparkle Pony or something.
Yeah.
You would have been Sparkle Pony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad Jessica, idea. Sparkle Pony.
Yeah.
Jones.
Not good. But you started the brand in 2012.
Yes.
So, congrats.
I was a baby.
Been a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we ask how old you is that? Right?
I was 24. I was too young to start a company.
So, you're still here though.
Yeah, I am. I'm still here talking about it. Yeah.
So what was the impetus for jewelry or a company in general?
I come from a very entrepreneurial family. My father, like since we're three girls and since we were young, all I remember is saying is, you're going to have your own company. You're going to have your own company. So it's kind of always in the back of my head. And why jewelry? I mean, jewelry was something I was always obsessed with my whole life. I couldn't wait for my birthday or gifting times to like get that piece of jewelry I'd been eyeing, or just like see what I would get. So I would layer it. And then when I graduated from college, well, actually in college, I interned for a jewelry brand in New York. And then when I graduated, I worked for another jewelry brand for a while. And then from there, I went and worked in marketing. And I didn't want to start a brand until I had an idea that was different, because the overlap in the industry, even then, was everywhere.
The market is so saturated, with all the same stuff.
And just like in my heart, I was like, I can't do something that's already out there. It just feels, why would I do it then?
Yeah,
I have to do something that's different.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in the BlackBerry days. BBM.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, jewelry was always about communication. So I was wearing like nameplate necklaces and, you know, engraved pieces, and it always had something. So I was working in marketing. I was very bored. It was like a desk job. And I came up with the idea of emojis in jewelry, because I really saw it as a new way of communication. I would like have that emoji with my boyfriend at the time, or like a specific emoji I would send to, like, I don't know. I just felt like it changed your sentence.
Yeah.
Like if you send an emoji at the end, it like makes it a little bit lighter of a conversation than if you don't, like, hi, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh my God, my mom died. Smiley face.
Crying face.
Crying face.
Eggplant,
eggplant, eggplant.
Exactly. So it just changes the vibe.
It completely changes the vibe of that conversation.
Yes.
And it was so
any
new
conversation.
At that time.
Any conversation.
Yeah. I love you, crying face. You know?
Yeah.
I love you, hard eyes. It's two different conversations.
I love you,
having.
Eggplant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, okay, this is a thing. Let me try this. So I was actually working near 47th Street at the time.
Okay.
So I like called my friend whose mom had a jeweler, and I was like, where can I go make jewelry? No jewelry designers are going to give you their contacts. I'll tell you that right now. So I was like, where does your mom make jewelry? And she was like, oh, this place. So I went to this random, it's
It's all random down there. It's all random.
What?
Like on 47th?
On 47th Street. 47th Street's extremely intimidating.
Especially
when you're like 24 and you don't understand anything.
Yes. It's still intimidating to me. And I'm 25. So.
Well, yeah.
That's so funny. I'm 17. I know. Famously.
It's a huge feat that like I'm not intimidated by it anymore. And I like know my people and I love it there. Yeah. And I just feel great on the block.
You make everything
that
there?
Is a win.
I do.
Everything to this day.
Everything on 47th
great.
Street.
That's
yeah.
So great.
In the between 44th and 48th.
Oh, yes, yeah. of course. Yeah. Yes.
In that district. Yeah, yeah. But generally, yes, it's 47th Street. Mm-hmm. So I had drawn a piece. He literally like copied the piece I drew and it came out horrible.
Right.
It was his face. It was like he had like it was like all the rubies were completely like.
Wait, what was that piece? What was the first thing?
It was the kiss face.
Okay. And you were trying to do that on paper.
Yeah, and I was I did
Why didn't
do it
you
on
just
paper.
Send him the emoji?
I wanted it to feel and look a little different and like have its own vibe. I didn't want it to be exactly the same. They're
are
not exactly
copywritten?
The same.
Right.
Do we know
my
that?
Pieces actually are copywritten
for you?
For me,
but are emojis in general copywritten?
There's
or no?
like a whole I like forget honestly. Okay. At this point. Yeah. I've gone through it, but I like
I
forget.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think so.
You
I
made
don't
it through.
I made it. Through.
You made it through.
It's fine. But so yeah, I went. I did. It was like horrible. I was like, okay, this isn't gonna be what it is. Everyone was like, your line should be in brass. I was like, no, I don't wear brass jewelry. It won't mean anything to anyone. Like, I want people to buy this with meaning. Jewelry to me has such meaning.
You like elevated the emoji.
Yeah. So then eventually, like through trial and error, et cetera, I found a manufacturer and then kind of.
And then
I launched my brand like a year and a half after my idea. And it was just kind of a perfect storm. It was when Instagram had just started happening. So people were actually following people. Tagging a brand actually meant something. Like, it was just like so organic, so easy. Like, I didn't think about what I was posting. And we actually got a feature. Like, the next day I launched my brand on the cover of the New York Times. And, like,
what?
It just, like, started. And then
how did that happen?
That's crazy.
Like, I had hired a PR company, but, like, we didn't know. We thought it was just going to be, like, a mention. And I was, like, on cloud nine. I woke up the next day after my like launch party and I got a call from my dad and he was like, have you seen the New York Times? And I was like, no, what? I'm in bed. I'm hungover. I'm 24. And he was like, look at this. And I was like, oh my God. Holy
That's
shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was such a moment. I remember when you launched that, reading about it, because you really took, it was, I mean, emojis were new. The cell phone was like such a thing back then.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, newsflash, JB, the cell phone is still sort of a thing.
Do you know what
but
it
then
was
like
a
iPhone
novelty.
Came out right after and they had their emojis and I was like, oh my God, like it kind of all
crazy
worked around, like worked at the same, like while I was launching my company, then the iPhone came out with their emojis. Like it also took me personally a long time to like move away from the BlackBerry. I was very tied to like my BBM life.
Every time you say that, I think you're saying something else, but
But a BlackBerry Messenger. Then I finally,
so
you
cool.
know.
But what a good moment for the jewelry industry, too, because, like, even now I think some stuff is so serious and, like, open people's eyes to what's possible with jewelry.
You know, I always, like, studied jewelry history. I love the history of jewelry. And also, to me at the time, like, enamel. I was like, let me try and bring this back. Like, why not add color to fine jewelry? Why does it have to be stone? So even in that collection, I started with enamel because I had, like, the Kiss You ring, Kiss Me.
Yeah, and now everyone does this sort of thing, which is really exciting. Yeah, you changed the game.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
All right, that's the end of the podcast.
Brilliant show, everyone.
So you opened a store.
Yes.
On Madison Avenue.
Tell Where is it?
It's on 77th and Madison, 77th, 78th. We opened, soft opening last September, like officially opened
so
in October.
Super new.
Congrats. Thank you. I like had always been eyeing those spaces because they're really small. You don't need huge spaces for jewelry. And one came up and we just kind of like went ahead and
How's it going?
It's going good. It's like, it's great. It's in an amazing location. So general foot traffic. And I do think with jewelry, people want to see, touch, understand the quality. Like we take so much pride in our quality being made in New York and everything. So it's kind of nice for people to like actually see that even though it's fun.
Is it like
it's still seriously made.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it a different customer than what you had online, do you feel? Or
I think we can get like an older customer in that might be shopping for their granddaughter or their daughter. Yeah. And then like they see like our cocktail rings or something and they're like, oh, I'll take one of those too. So yeah, we kind of see it of all ages more. Yeah.
It seems like the kind of store you could put all across America.
You're going to do that? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I'd love to.
Prime
do you
want to
like give me $1 billion? Anyone?
Let's talk after.
Yeah. The
Let's
way your after. Career has gone, I think it'll just happen.
Oh,
right?
Thank you so much.
But she is actively seeking investment.
Yeah. All right. We're going to help you out.
We'll help you out.
Just fly
we'll
us out to the opening in LA. Okay,
yeah, yeah. Great.
Prior to opening the physical store, were you only ever e-commerce or did you work with third-party retailers as well?
I started with a wholesale business. Okay. So I started with Five Story at the time. Mm-hmm. She was my first retailer. I'm still very friendly with Claire. And because of Instagram, I like got so many market appointments through DM. So I had matches. I had Net-a-Porter. It doesn't. I had all these
That's
retailers.
Amazing.
Yeah. So my wholesale business was really strong. Honestly, e-com wasn't a thing like when I launched. Mm-hmm. So then I did start to build out e-com slowly, but it was also at the time like your wholesalers didn't want you to do e-com. You know, that was
because they felt you were competing with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not what it is. So and then we've had we had a store in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. Our lease just came up on. We did a pop-up in Soho back in the day. I think it was in 2017. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Has it been something you've had to be very conscious of as a business owner to like change with the times? Like, oh, there's e-commerce now. We got to get on this. Were you always like keeping your eye out to make sure you guys sustained as you grew?
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
It's like, it's changing so fast.
Right.
Like, especially like social and marketing and online marketing and understanding that, understanding the language. Like, it's a whole new ballpark.
What has changed the most from 2012 when you first started out and you were primarily dealing with retailers? What has changed in kind of the overall jewelry landscape the most for you?
Well, having more of a direct business for me and developing that. And there's so much that goes into that. It's not just like, okay, I'm just going to launch a store. It's like an online store. It's like, oh, well, I got to get the packaging. The customer experience has to be good. I have to get the right box. I have to, you know, the insurance. I mean, there's like so much
The stock.
I mean, I already said it, but the customer service is just like constant. Yeah. You know, a piece comes in.
People like to complain. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we know
it
that.
It wasn't a color we they liked. It wasn't, oh, it doesn't look the same as it looked online. And we're like literally like taking the piece and like, and we're like, can we do anything? And sometimes I'm just like, forget it. Just let it go. You know, like customer's always right.
Yeah.
So
that's so
most
true.
Most of the time, sometimes.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know about that
one. Sometimes we
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Let's jump to the, I just want to mention, because we talked about this a bit, your social media, but you have such a good presence because you're so authentic. You keep it light. It's not super serious, but you really offer like a great like behind the scenes and like direct access to the jewelry. How has that changed? You mentioned earlier you didn't even think about it before, but now I'm guessing you probably have a team devoted to this.
No, it's still me.
It's you. Oh my God.
I think
you're
that's
on TikTok
why.
Now too, right?
Yeah, but so little on TikTok. Yeah. I'm really trying to understand it. I literally take like, I do have a team that helps me like edit reels because
like
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, just like physically
that's
edit
it.
Them.
Wow.
Or like, you know, people in my office will take pictures or take videos and then we'll send it to get edited. Or sometimes that team will come into the office and like take some videos for us. But like, I really am there always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the reason for what you had mentioned earlier about it feeling like me and personal, it's like, it's me. Mm-hmm. All of it's me.
That explains it.
I've never had anyone take over my Instagram as much as I'd love to, because it really is like a full-time job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it makes
storying is like, so I can't do it all the time. I look at these influencers. I'm like, how are you posting all the time?
Well,
how do you remember
do.
To do this?
That's all they
but
do.
Even they have families and they have business and they, you know, have a company and they're still posting. I'm like, I just like, sure, I just did something really cool, but like I was enjoying what I was doing. It's just like maybe I'm just like not in that mindset, that age where it's like my phone has to
that's
be out.
What I
and
like
my husband's
to think.
Like the complete opposite. He's like, no, he doesn't.
Nothing.
He like barely has social. So I'm like, it's not something that we, I try to get him to take pictures and help me. He's like, please, no. My office is like, get your husband to take, you guys are on vacation, have him take it. I'm like, he like can't.
He's like, no.
Sorry, Ariel.
Okay, so that brings us to, I think, what everyone's interested in hearing about at this particular moment, because it's gone viral, is Imrata's divorce ring.
Yeah.
That rings.
Rings.
Yeah.
That what did was go this viral.
Like? Did
that
she just like walk whoa. In and was like, hey, can you take this ring apart now?
It was more of like a text message exchange. Okay. I made her an original ring. It was a very collaborative experience, working with her both times. And
that ring was such a moment too.
And honestly, it was so much of a moment to the point where we were like, we're sick of this ring. Like everyone has made this ring now. Like we were like sending it to each other, like on Instagram, like from all other brands. We're like,
everyone does that ring.
Everyone
now.
Makes that ring. And we were like, yeah. Time for something fresh.
I just saw it today, a new version. I just saw the same. And I was like, oh,
what
it's
is,
pretty
that entire
good.
Website, if we're thinking of the same thing, I'm
okay,
like, what is this?
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is good timing.
What is the
also,
website? Do you want to name them? Call them out by name?
No.
Yeah. I think
can
we
do
should.
That later.
Yeah. We can talk about it later. what happened? She texted me and was like, let's make my divorce rings. And I was like, great.
Had you done one before, a divorce ring?
So should we, I know you want to talk about the bridal business, so I can
get
into
talk
it
about
now.
All of it. Let's
so my bridal business actually grew because of like my dedicated client base, which I'm like so happy for. Mm-hmm. But a lot of women, it all started from this like group of women that came to me to reset their engagement rings because they got married really young.
Oh,
And they were just sick of like the 3-stone ring. And they wanted a ring. They were like, my ring is in my safe. I don't wear it. Can you please make something that I want to wear? I have a diamond. Let me like do something with it. Mm-hmm. So all of my rings for my bridal collection are named after that
Who
woman.
Who knew that you would start a bridal business based on like
it's not even breakup. No, but
just redoing it.
Yeah,
just
it's just like reset.
It.
They're still married. Most of them are like still married.
Oh, they are. Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
They just want like a fresh feel. I actually, my first ever one that I made, I just reset it again because she was like, I want something newer. I want something chunkier. And I was like, great.
That's great about jewelry. Like,
yeah.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't make my own engagement ring, because I was like, if I did, then I would change it every like 6 months. Yeah. Like, you don't want me to do that. So that's how it started. That's how my whole bridal business started. So yeah, I'm definitely used to resetting rings. It's like a huge part of our business. Mm. It's like maybe even bigger than our just like initial bridal business.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Now, are divorce things a real thing? Is this an
divorce
actual
rings?
Thing people do?
I don't know why it shouldn't be.
No.
Like you keep,
but I was just
have the
it,
ring.
Yeah, it is.
Is
it's
this like
thing.
An actual concept that
it should be.
Yeah.
There's probably a Wikipedia page for it.
I'm sure we should have looked that up.
Like I looked at, I didn't see
you did it.
Okay. I might have
we'll write one.
Trademarked it. So.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, did you
did.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Good for you.
Thank you.
That's so smart.
Good for
so
you.
I might have.
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for the approval. So hopefully no one from the trademark like bureau is
listening
yeah,
to
no,
this right
not
now.
That it matters. It's pending.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think, listen, I'm pretty sure most women keep their diamonds. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, the guy's a real asshole. Like,
I threw my ring in the river, the East River.
You did?
She
I did.
It was so dramatic,
it
too.
Was so the divorce was so dramatic.
Oh, my God.
And so the whole thing,
I
and I did.
I still can't believe you did that.
But
still.
Actually, today, when I was, like, thinking about, okay, we're going to talk to Allison, I thought, for the very first time, I should have kept that. For the very first time, just because of it.
I think
you know what? Some people don't want the juju. Like, there's also that. But I do think, like, it's a diamond. Give it a new life. Give it a new meaning. Mm-hmm. Give your life a new chapter, you know.
Yeah.
So I think
the
it's
rings
fun.
Are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're great.
They're
really
beautiful.
Fun.
Yeah. They look huge, too. Yeah.
We wanted, like, we always want to separate them. Actually, we talked about keeping it together at one point.
Okay.
Adding more stones. But then we were like, nah, let's just, you know, wear them together, wear them separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's play around with it. The pinky ring was easy. She said, I want a simple pinky ring. Mm-hmm. I was like, no problem. Easy setting. The Princess was a little bit more difficult, a little bit more challenging. I think Princess cuts in general are challenging to work with on their own.
Yeah.
So I like was inspired way originally by, I love Angelina Jolie's engagement ring. So I was like, because it like looks like one big diamond. So I was like, let's do something like this. And then it was a lot of back and forth. But then we just ended up
like
doing
one big diamond.
So and it wasn't anything actually like Angelina Jolie's. It just like worked out with those traps. They were the, like, I got ones that were the same exact size as the princess. So that it just felt like one consecutive diamond. And
that's so cool.
With a white gold setting and the band is yellow gold. So it kind of like ties together. I don't exactly know because they're not my stones. But like 3+.
Well, I mean, I think her posting that is just every woman now is like, oh.
You've turned it into
a
trend.
I think now it's a it's going to be.
You better hope that Bureau approves your...
I hope so. If not, hey, I'll still be making them. Whether or not I have the trademark.
You're probably going to be the go-to anyway now.
I hope so.
For that. That's exciting. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, just to go back to the idea of bridal, it was really cool to see that you went from like a fashion fine jewelry brand to going into bridal because I think a lot of times smaller companies, I mean, I don't know how small you were at that time, but have trouble making a step into like a more fine jewelry space.
Well, I wanted my customer to trust me, so I got my GIA like in diamonds. Okay. Because I was like, I wouldn't trust someone if they didn't know what they were talking about when it came to stones. Yeah. So I went back to GIA. I took the class for I think it was like 2 weeks or something. Took the test. I passed, and so I got that cert, which is nice, like my diamond grading cert, and that like kind of helped me like feel really confident in being able to reset other people's rings, to find other people diamonds, to understand the diamond market. I mean, it's also an intimidating space, just like 47th Street. Diamonds are intimidating to buy. There's the wrap report, but you still don't really know what price you should be, you know? I mean, now we do, but it takes a while to like kind of understand that business. So it is intimidating. I always say everyone has their friends that's like a wholesaler that can like get them the diamond. You know, we get a lot of clients that are like, help us find the stone. And then they actually like say like, oh, I could maybe get it myself or whatever. So I just say, if you want to bring it, we're not like picky about that. So we're like, you either bring us the stone or we'll get it for you. We don't care either way. We just like really like to make the setting because that's the artistic part behind the whole thing. Like I really like to understand our clients, see what they want, what they would wear so much, like all of that.
It's a big decision.
It is. And like it's just a ring you're gonna wear a lot, which means a lot to me as a designer, knowing that like I'm making one of like your biggest pieces.
Yes.
Yeah. And that you'll have forever and then want to reset.
Come back. How do you, repeat customer.
How do you garner the trust from somebody going from sort of making emojis, and not to disparage emojis, to then doing a bridal line? How do you sort of convince people that you're still the go-to for that as well?
My first client with that, aside from like my sister who like let me do hers and stuff, which was great practice. I actually recently reset hers, but she was like a return customer of my emoji stuff. She always came in to see my new collections. Like on top of emojis, I had like four collections after that. So she would always come see them. She would always like come buy them. So I think she just trusted me as a person. I personally had met with her. So she knew that like whatever was being made, I had an eye on. Like it's not like I just handed it over. So I kind of think that people feel that when they meet with us. Margo is the bridal specialist at our office now. She's also head of our production. And she is so incredible with our clients, but she does assure them that I am behind the process in the whole way. I approve the CADs. If it's being made by hand, I'll speak to the jeweler. So it's just like a very collaborative experience. And I think that's helpful for people.
I do think Alana and I talked about this earlier today. It's interesting about the jewelry industry because when you make jewelry, people think you can make anything. They're like, oh, can you make me a tiara? Even if you make like jelly bracelets, right? They're like, oh, she's a jeweler. So
someone like dropped off like a client, like I'll do people favors, like I'll fix their jewelry for them. But she dropped off these like insane vintage silver earrings and was like, can you change the backs? And I gave it to Margo and she was like, oh, like it's a great client. We're not doing this. Like this is like, this is insane. And I was like, okay, you're right. So some things I've had to like turn down, and so many people reach out to me like, hey, do you know where I can get my watch fixed?
Right.
Do you know where I can like fit? And I'm like, I don't, do you have someone else you can bother? I don't know. I really don't. Like,
because well, it's so big. I mean, even about diamonds, it's like some jewelers don't do it because it's so difficult. Yeah. But people, I mean, the normal consumer doesn't, you know, really
a late consumer doesn't
that.
Understand most of that. Yeah.
So let's jump into something that's really cool and different about you is you've done a lot of brand collabs, most recently with Barilla Pasta. Tell us what this was like, because when we saw this, we were like, this is so unexpected.
You feel deeply and passionately about pasta.
Pasta.
I mean,
who doesn't?
Is there anyone that doesn't like pasta? It's
I
like
don't.
Saying, you don't?
What? I hate it.
You don't
hate
like pasta?
Yeah. Well, it's shock and awe.
What about pizza?
Not a huge fan.
What?
Huh.
Yeah.
Really? No kinds of pasta?
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
sorry.
We found one.
Scared
well.
Of you. That's not normal. Aside from you, serial killer I'm sitting across from. So,
I've been called worse.
Okay, fine. So we got approached by Barilla. We had made, I had
that's
a Mamma
great.
Mia collection.
Mm-hmm.
I
oh, but that
I
being said, if Barilla wants to sponsor the podcast, we love pasta.
Okay.
I'll take all the pasta.
We love it. Yeah.
I did a Mamma Mia collection and I really don't remember what year because all my years are mushed together pretty recently, and it was very successful for us. So those pieces, like whenever I do a collection, I always keep a couple pieces in our core collection that just stay. And those have just been, you know, evergreen in our collection, and they
people
reached out to us.
Love food and jewelry.
Love.
And I think it's a lot about what you're saying about the emojis. It expresses something, and food is very connected to love too, I think. So it's like
it was Barilla Love Pasta.
Yep.
Well, it was for Valentine's Day.
There
it
go.
Was all about love. And everyone's combined love for pasta. So we kind of, they approached us. It was a sweepstakes, and they asked us to make a ring around their brand, around the pasta, and we did. And it was really fun.
That's so fun.
It was great because it was like a really, it's great to like not even have to worry about making a whole collection, but just like one
piece.
Great piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then it can be really great. Which is
how
nice.
Did that come about? Did
they
you call
just,
them up and you said, I
no,
love your pasta?
They reached out to us.
They
no,
did.
Yeah, they reached out to us. And I think we were up against a couple other designers.
Oh, really?
I was like, we better get this.
Yeah.
Right.
I was
like a perfect fit.
When we were like shooting, I was like, so who else was up against me? They were like, it was always you. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No,
okay.
Not necessarily.
Like,
all right.
Like, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a trademark.
I've heard
the
that
pasta
one before.
Jewelry.
Oh my God. I'm done.
So let's talk about another food collab you did with Caviar Caspia.
Yeah.
What did, I was going to say, what did it look like? But he hates to hear you describe it.
This is an audio
format. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Look it up.
Look it
it's
up.
It's on my website.
Google it. Yeah.
We'll
Google
put
it.
A link in the description.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to describe to you what jewelry looks like on the show.
It looks like caviar.
It looks like
caviar. It does, though.
It does.
With
like
black diamonds.
Yeah.
I also had caviar pieces in a collection. Again, I'm not going to remember what year it was. That was... Yeah, so it was a caviar piece
they
that I'd done.
They reached out to you again?
No, this time they were opening right next to us on the corner of our store. So, like, it's kind of like they're the caddy corner and then we're two stores down. So when I saw that they were opening, I was like, let's just bring back our caviar pieces and make a couple more. And this time use, like, there's a piece, not to describe, that opens and the top is the top of the caviar pin.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably like, mechanical and all that.
So the top, we did a Caviar Caspia tin and all different colors and enamel.
That's cute.
Stuff.
That's very cool. The challenge of making something like that must be extraordinary, no?
Yeah, it's fun. I like that kind of stuff. I love making mechanical jewelry. I've done it. It's the best. Mm-hmm. I love doing it.
Oh my gosh. We
it's
forgot
so satisfying.
To talk about miniatures, which this is.
Yeah, the caviar bits are like miniature sort of dishes.
Well, so is all like my food
all the
pieces.
Pasta.
Yeah.
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 Let's talk about miniatures.
So all my jewelry is like
great
mini
segue,
things.
JP.
I know. I don't even need to ask her a question though. We're on the same page.
Yeah, you just say, let's do this.
Miniatures. That's what all my studs are, mini jewelry. Uh-huh. But I also, at our retail store, have like, so our case that displays in the window is pretty like thin and long. And it was really hard to display jewelry in there that would like really stop the passers-by.
Yeah, you just put jewelry in there and it's like, oh,
it's
yeah,
just like, okay,
jewelry.
And it's in a white background with like a suede, you know, it's beautiful and it's well lit, but it's not show stopping. So I started by doing like miniature scenes.
Did you do them yourself?
Yes.
You made the miniatures
No,
yourself?
I didn't make the miniatures. I researched them and we did make a few out of clay. And as I had mentioned earlier, like we had like a little wine glass and we poured nail polish in it to make it look like there was actually wine inside. It was like an empty glass. So actually we made a lot of the like food for the caviar display.
Okay.
To take it all back to that. But yeah, it's really fun. We put it up like every couple weeks, maybe 6 to 8 weeks we'll change the display. We'll make a few and come up with the idea.
It's so cute.
It's a good place for, it's a good creative outlet for me.
You started a trend though. There were some stores in Brooklyn.
Well, I know one Brooklyn brand in particular that does a lot of
miniatures.
That now.
But wow, you were doing it first.
I try to like not see any of that
I'll
stuff.
I'll tell you after the show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name
like,
them.
It's bothered me for so long, all of that stuff.
Well, what's
and now
interesting
like,
about them
okay, whatever,
is. What's interesting about them in particular is I used to see a lot of their posts thinking they were yours.
Oh my God. Can't wait to hear who it is.
Because it was so aesthetically very, very similar. And it was this whole idea of miniatures and they would do like a picnic layout of miniatures and that kind of thing.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all,
I love
it's
that.
All flattery.
It so is fun. All flattery.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Up to a point.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a legal problem.
Annoying,
Yeah, right? It is annoying, Because you're like, I just want to make some miniatures here, guys.
Yeah. Like, I just want to make jewelry. You have to like also make it.
Right?
But that's the trouble with sort of your whole ethos of starting the brand where you're trying to find gaps within a market.
Yeah.
And you want to fill those voids and then you find success. And then, of course, you're going to get plenty of people who want to... Fill that void as well, you know.
I mean,
so annoying.
Yeah, that's a lot about like the organic behind the scenes thing is that I don't like to post that much behind the scenes of what I'm making because people can knock it out way faster than I can.
You feel protective and you know people can knock that stuff out overseas like that.
Right. And I can't. Like our stuff is like made slowly, thoughtfully on 47th Street. So it's like a different thing.
But there's always going to be then a quality difference too between the people who do those sort of quick and dirty knockoffs.
Right.
And I usually always think that customer is not your customer anyway.
I hope.
Yeah, but I would assume that it's not, in all likelihood, it's not the same person.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, before we move on, let's talk about your Hasbro collab. Well, I didn't know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Haribo?
What was that about?
Hasbro, that's different.
Hasbro.
I was thinking Haribo. You know, Haribo macht Kinder froh und Erwachsene ebenso.
Yeah.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
The candy.
Gummy bears.
Yeah. Love. I'm a big
Wait, but is that the Hasbro or Haribo? Who's that?
Hasbro's a toy company.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm an idiot.
Like Monopoly.
No,
got it.
She'll do gummy bears next.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, call Haribo.
I've been, people want me to do candy so badly. Again, it's been done.
That's such a
I know, it's just been done, so I'm like, how am I going to do it differently? You know? So, a Twizzler bangle, though, like, that'd be great.
That'd be cute.
There you go. You just did it.
I know.
Well, you just said
no
it on the pod.
That.
A huge mistake.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's
this is dropping on Tuesday.
You gotta
get on this.
It's fine.
Call the Bureau, trademark.
I know. So, it was, they also had, like, reached out to me. It was more of, like, a licensing deal, and they gave me, like, all their games, and from there, all my collections are theme based. So I was like, okay, I'll do a game, you know. This will be so fun and so nostalgic. So we did Monopoly, Twister, and Mr. Potato Head.
And you did the game
now
pieces?
Just Potato Head.
No?
The Monopoly was not the some of the pieces were on there. It was a little bit of everything, like the house, the pieces, the money, Twister was a lot of, with using those colors as just on a bracelet. And
I do remember these. I didn't realize this was a collab. That's so cool.
It was fun. It was a really fun one. It was, the inspiration was right there.
Yeah.
So that That was cool.
I love it. It is fun. Okay, what's next? What's happening? You dropped a new collection. Tell us.
I dropped a new collection in your feelings. So I started, as we talked about, I started with emojis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never let it out of my collection. Those are my babies. But we made large, small, medium, like every emoji under the sun. And I was like, every color enamel, you know, any possible way you could do it, I did it. So
were those fine, by the way?
Yeah.
They were all like gold.
14 karat gold, enamel, precious stones.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working a lot with like cutting like lab stones, like not diamonds, but emerald, sapphires, like with our cocktail pieces surrounded by enamel. So I said, you know what? Let's relaunch our emojis, like our Emoticore collection, it's called. And let's cut out stones for the features of the faces. And just make it all uniform, the right size. We know what size people like.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like tie it in. We made different rings. Speaking of mechanical jewelry, I'm actually wearing it. Like, we made this flip ring that's like happy, sad. We made this feelings wheel, which was great, that you can like pick your feeling. So I just had fun with it, and I got to remake it and do it not right, because it was always right, but just make it different and kind of
like an updated
version.
That's great.
Next, we were just sitting in a meeting this week talking about it. This is like kind of my break in between deciding what's next. I mean, right now we're like pretty focused on bridal, and it's kind of like bridal season's coming up. I feel like summer's a big engagement time. And yeah, we are designing something fun. But I, you know, what I've noticed and what I did with my In Your Feelings collection is keep it smaller. Like, I would always get so excited, and my collections would be like 30 to 50 pieces.
Oh, that's crazy.
A lot. I know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And now I'm like 15 max.
Oh, that's great.
That's good.
Just because, like, your customer doesn't want to see too much. Like, you're giving them too many options.
Yeah.
So now we're keeping it way more condensed, which is nice.
That's fantastic. What is that process typically like for you when you're thinking about a new collection? What do you have a particular, I mean, aesthetically, you certainly have a through line for the brand, but do you have a through line as far as these are our design tenets for collections? This is what we always want to think about and address every time we're doing something new. Or do you just sort of play?
That sounds like really too organized.
It's my German upbringing.
Yeah. Like, I basically am like, okay, we got to design a new collection. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm not coming into work for a couple days. I'm going to go look through books and inspiration and walk around and look around and take that time. I can't be at home anymore because I have two kids. So that's a lot. But I'll like go into the back of our office. We have a separate room. I'll sit there. I'll doodle. I'll play with different materials. Like right now, I'm actually playing with Play-Doh.
Oh, really?
Just to like get my hands working. And I have like tools that I'm like, I don't know, playing with the Play-Doh with and fake large gemstones. I don't know. That's something that I'm doing this time
around.
Don't
give it all away on
That's not like, it's just how I'm getting, just like getting my hands, like messing around with materials. And I draw. That helps me, just like, it doesn't even need to be good. It's just like ideas on paper and just like keep my hand moving. And then I have a meeting with like two of my girls at my office, and we sit down probably for like a couple hours and talk about materials, throw ideas back and forth. I really trust their judgment on everything creative also. So sometimes I'll come up with an idea that's like too crazy, and they're like, all right, let's narrow this down, let's make this like price conscious and everything. So how we're gonna make it, and then it goes to our CAD people, who I've worked with since I started my brand, because at the time I like couldn't find, this is like just a random story, but I couldn't find people to do CAD, and I like googled, I was like, you know what, I'll do it myself, like I love Photoshop, I can like do all this, like, and I googled like do someone to teach me to do CAD. So I showed up to this guy on like 47th Street. He was alone in a cubicle at the time. And I was I'm here to learn CAD.
and he
was like, I'll do your CADs for you. We could talk about them, but I'm not going to teach you. You have to go to school. And I was like, okay, to this day, now he has like a whole factory. He has like all these people working for him.
Oh my gosh.
And he like started doing my CADs, which is like so funny. Oh my gosh. So we also have like a great creative relationship. Mm-hmm. Where I'll go in with my new collection every time, no matter what, mm-hmm. and talk to him about the process, and he'll draw for me and I'll draw for him, and we'll like go back and forth on things. So that's like a really great creative relationship. I have a great creative relationship with my enamelers. Mm-hmm. It's such an old process, and they're so talented. So I love to talk to them about their capabilities and how far they can go mm-hmm. with things. So that's always really fun. That's I just love everyone that I work with. So I love to go to 47th Street and kind
that's the hot
get
pot.
Back.
Finding those people, that's always the hottest spot for
it is.
A lot of people.
It took years.
Yeah, I'm
like,
sure.
Like, I had the same manufacturers that, like, when I first started, they, like, I would go to them with an idea, except for my CAD guy. Mm-hmm. And they would just do everything start to finish. And I was like, this isn't working for my pricing. So like eventually we had to go find a bunch of people to do a little bit of everything.
Do you do, is market research kind of part of your process when you're designing? Are you always kind of keeping your eyes peeled for what people are doing and what they're not doing?
Not really.
Okay, great. Great conversation, Allison. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, I'll look to see that it hasn't been done.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I will look it up and I'll be like, oh, this is a little too close. Like, look, this person did that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll like look it up. I'll see, like, I definitely see trend reports and stuff and keep an eye on them. Mm-hmm. And it, like the color, the Pantone color of the year is always interesting because we do work in so much enamel.
What is this year?
It was peach.
Peach?
Yeah.
Horrible.
I know. It wasn't
disgusting.
A great one. It's like, it's very toned, like it's very
skin tone, just nothing. Yeah.
Not great. So that I always keep an eye on, but I just try and like keep like my blinders on and do what I like.
I mean, it's hard now. There's so much.
Sorry, JB. No, do you think you make jewelry for yourself?
Oh,
is that
absolutely.
Part of your motive?
Yeah, I wouldn't make it if I wouldn't wear it. Mm-hmm. So I would wear all my pieces. It's actually hard because like the majority of my pieces are at my store now. So like anytime I want to like get stuff and wear stuff, like I have to go there. So I'll have like stuff for like a couple weeks that's like mine. And like every time I do a new collection, I'll order my own personal pieces that I'll wear from it.
Yeah.
So like the flip ring I got, and I have like my own little collection at home. We make so many personalized pieces that I have to do like ones that say my name on it, that say my kids' names, you know, all that.
Yeah. Well, people expect you to be
like
walking
dripping
billboard.
In my
in your own stuff.
You do.
Listen,
especially,
I respect vintage and I respect like my friends that are jewelry designers. I love to wear it. I love to wear all different.
Yeah.
But mostly mine.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
love it.
I would certainly hope so.
It took me a really long time to get used to managing life as a mom and life as a business owner slash creative.
Because you had your most recent child 10 months ago, right?
Yeah. So it took like, I would really say 2 years for me to feel like I could get back in the groove of things. Because your first kid like shakes your world and you're like, how am I they need so much of me. Like it was just like very stressful to be between like, I need to take care of my kid. Is he going to survive if I'm at work? Is he going to like hate me? To like spending time with them. The whole thing was, you know, really difficult, but then I like got used to it. And
then the second one, you were like, I'm like, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah. We haven't even met yet.
Yeah.
So, no, but like I do like on Mondays when I'm going back to work, I'm like, I so need this. Like
the time away.
Mm-hmm. Like it's good for all of
us
because I cherish the time with my children like you can't imagine. I wake up in the morning with them. Mm-hmm. I sit with them. I don't have my phone near me. We're playing together. Like I'm not tired of them. Like I'm so excited to hang out with them, to talk to them. Fridays I work from home. Like I'll go to a class with them. I'll pick them up from school. I drop off my son at school every day. Then he comes home, he naps. It's like an hour of him not seeing me. You know, my daughter naps like basically the whole day. She's 10 months. So yeah, and then at night like I'm home. I make sure to be out of the office by like 4:30. Takes me like a half hour to get home. I'm home for dinner every night. I'm home to put them to bed, even if I have dinner back uptown or something. Like, I always just try to be there with them. And now I'm like, okay, I can like do this. But it was a huge shock. I didn't expect it to be. I was like, I could do this. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is like the biggest deal in the whole world.
Yeah.
I have to like keep, you know, and it's stressful at first to like leave your kids at home with somebody that you don't really know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you figured it out.
Yeah. Same. Has it changed or expanded your design interests as well? I assume, given the nature of most of your work, which is quite playful.
Yeah.
And there's, if I'm allowed to say, there's an element of kitsch.
Yes,
to what you do,
of course.
Within all of the designs.
Yeah.
And having two kids, I assume your house is full of toys.
Yeah. So. I mean, I look at that stuff for inspiration all the time. It's funny. Like, I was wearing, there's like these dinosaur rings. My son's obsessed with dinosaurs. And there were these dinosaur rings. And I was like, this is the sickest ring. Like, if this were gold, this dinosaur ring. Like, and then I was like, who's wearing a dinosaur? Like, yeah. I was like, I don't know.
Somebody might.
Yeah, but somebody. I don't think everybody's wearing like dinosaur heads on their hand.
Yeah. But that might become a thing.
But
yeah.
I think I could translate into something else. But
if anyone
I mean,
would have
been,
do
a,
it.
Yeah. I know it would have been. It's the ring would be so. They're huge. Like they're like big dinosaur heads on it. But I was like, I like the way this looks. And that
I don't think people woke up every day before Cartier did it thinking I would love to wear a panther head on my.
That's true.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Yeah. I mean, my original bar rings came from a toy ring because it was like eyes and lips together, and you could like alternate the lips and stuff. But it was from this like. Eyes ring that was just like googly eyes and I was like, this is a great ring, and then I like developed my bar ring idea off that. So yeah, I see that stuff all the time. I mean, Play-Doh I'm playing with right now.
Yeah.
That's not that my son loves Play-Doh.
You might make very mushy jewelry soon.
Yeah, exactly. That would be cool.
That would be interesting.
That would be nice.
Yeah,
I'd love
it's
to see
it's like a stress ball but a ring,
but a piece of jewelry
that could like
be
move.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. If you do it, she gets 10%. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just saying.
It's said. It's on.
It's on the record.
Yeah.
She gets 10%.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting 10% from Marie Lichtenberg.
Right.
For the new penis. So that's what Marie said. So it's on the record.
It's stone. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, this was fascinating.
Thank you. Yeah, no, this was really fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being with us, Allison.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you and your stuff?
They can find me at www.allisonlou.com or at 994B Madison Avenue in New York.
Amazing. And we're going to have links in the description below so you guys can find Allison's
jewelry. We are going to do that this time.
Jewelry. We will do that.
Oh,
we
on
do
Instagram,
the,
I guess. Allison Lou.
Allison Lou on Instagram. There you go. Yeah, and not to be confused with that other company that does very similar stuff.
We don't know who that
We don't know who that is.
All right. Thanks for being here. I'm JB Jones.
I'm Alan Simich.
Yeah, and this was Rough Cut.
Goodbye.
Thanks, guys.